Welcome, everybody. Brother Goodwin here. I want to read a verse to you to get our program started today. Doc is sitting right here. We've got an exciting show planned for you, so don't move unless it's to go get some popcorn and some glass of iced tea or something. But let me read a verse for you in Daniel chapter 1, because we're going to be going through the book of Daniel for the next several weeks. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8 is an important verse in your Bible. It says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. I want you to notice, Daniel purposed in his heart. We're going to talk about that a little bit in the show, but we're going to deal with chapter 1 of the book of Daniel, and we're going to do a show for the next several weeks on the different chapters in Daniel, and we'll also put those on a flash drive that you can order if you'd like to have it. And all right, going to be exciting, so stand by. Hey, everybody. Good to have you with us today on the program, Frosting the Spotlight. Doc is here with me, as you can see. These are exciting days, Doc.
They are.
And extra exciting for me, my new book is actually here. When we did the introduction a few weeks back, and then we got interrupted by the Christmas shows, mm-hmm. but we did the introduction for Daniel. I did not have this in my hand because it didn't exist yet. But there it is on your screen, and here it is in my hand. Got to get the glare of it. It's spiral bound. You can't see that on the screen, but you can see it here it's spiral bound. It opens up and lays flat on your desk. It's great. 158, 160 pages, something like that. And good stuff. So Doc, we're going to talk before we get to the book of Daniel. Let's just, this is probably about December 20th when this is airing. Mm-hmm. So just a few days before Christmas. And
we need a Christmas gift.
Yeah, and if you still need a gift, we'll try to overnight something if you want us to. Amen. If you need a book, if you'd like the Daniel Study Guide, and you need it for Christmas, it might be possible. We could probably do next day air or something. And but Doc, the bill is coming due in about 2 weeks or less. The bill, and I've already let CTN know that we don't know if we're going to be staying or not. We said that 3 months ago.
No, something happened, and
we was able to stay, but we're not sure this time. We're not too far off. We don't need a tremendous amount of money, but we need a few thousand dollars. And if you would like to, if God has touched your heart and you want to help us stay on, I've got until the 1st of January to let CTN know whether we're going to stay or not. But I want to let you know, if you're a CTN person, there are a lot of other ways to watch us. YouTube, but we're also on Faith TV on Wednesday nights at 6 p.m. Faith TV is a satellite company, and we're on, it's not Dish, it's the other one.
Direct
TV, which some of you on CTN, many of you on CTN are watching us on Direct. Well, all you got to do, I think it's three channels up. It's $3.79. I know Michael Smith down there in Texas, he told me it's channel 379 on his. I don't know if that's the way it is everywhere. It might be. I don't even watch TV, so I don't know how this works.
It would be.
So on Wednesday nights at 6 p.m. Eastern time, 5 p.m. Central, and you can do the math there depending on where you live. So if you're a CTN person and suddenly we're gone, we're not gone. If you have DirecTV, mm-hmm. we're still there, just a different day, okay? An hour earlier than you used to, but a different day, okay? And there's other places, and if you need help finding us, give us a call or email us, whatever. We'll help you find how you can watch us. Nobody has to fall through the cracks. But all right, but we don't know for sure. It's possible some big checks will come in or some big Amen. Donations, and we'll stay, but we're not sure. And the Revelation studies we did 18 of them right here on television. They're all on a little flash drive. In fact, I have one here in my pocket if I can get it out right here. It looks just like that. Let me have this one over here. and show them what the flash drive looks like. There we go. Here's the flash drive right here. Just a little USB flash drive, if you can see that. I know it's hard to see from here. It's a USB. It goes into your computer. Or if you have a smart TV, which most of you do, this will plug into your smart TV. The problem is most of us aren't smart enough to work the smart TV. And you have to call a teenager and have one of your grandchildren come over and show you how to get it going.
Amen.
But all of them are going to be on here. All 18 of the Revelation studies that many of you watched right here, they're on this flash drive. It's not that expensive. You can get it. Just go to the website, and it's there. And I think that's it for that, Doc. Let's jump into Daniel chapter 1. And you had something you wanted to start us off with.
In our introduction, I think we may have failed to say it, but the setting for the beginning of the book of Daniel is Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians have just defeated the Assyrian Empire.
Yeah.
The Assyrians, 117 years before this, had conquered the northern 10 kingdoms, Israel, and so they'd been in servitude to the Assyrians. Now the Babylonians have taken care of that. They're in charge. So they come back and they stop at Israel or the northern 10 kingdoms to let them know, we're in charge. You're still in servitude to us. And then they went down to Jerusalem, besieged Jerusalem. And that's where the beginning of Daniel starts.
And that's called Judah in the Bible.
Judah.
It's Judah and Benjamin, right? The two tribes.
Right.
The other 10 tribes, like you said, were taken captive 100 years earlier.
Yes.
721 B.C., I believe.
And so that's the setting of the book. There had been an event take place before that. Hezekiah had revealed some of the things of the treasure house of God. And so at that moment, then, they take some of the things from the treasure house of God. And like always, any time in those days, they felt like, if I beat you in battle, that's because my God's greater than your God. So we're going to take the things from your God's treasure house and put them in submission in our treasure house of our God.
Yeah.
That was their thought process.
Yeah. And when we get to the handwriting on the wall chapter,
we'll see
them mocking God, the God of Israel.
Yeah.
And God writes something on the wall.
Yes.
And that's an interesting event there.
But that's the setting for the beginning of the book of Daniel.
Hey,
in a political nature.
I'm in chapter 2. We're not doing chapter 2. I got to go back. We're in chapter 1. All right, so chapter 1 in my Daniel study, and by the way, my introduction's about 20 pages from the beginning of the book, table of contents, and by the way, there are some color pictures in here as well that'll help you. It'll be interesting. And page 21 begins Daniel chapter 1. And what I've done for each chapter, just like I did for Revelation, is I come up with a theme of the chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not everybody has to agree with what I think's the theme, but I wrote this book, so I use my theme, right?
I don't want to tell people when I'm speaking on something that's maybe a little controversial. I said, now, you may not agree with me, but that's all right. I'm up here, so I'm the one in charge. I'm right.
So, and here's what I put for the theme, and I already read the verse at the beginning of the show, Daniel 1:8. Very important verse, especially for teenage.
Wouldn't have the rest of it if they hadn't purposed in their heart to do what they did.
And here's, of course, Daniel purposed in his heart, and we think he's a teenager, 17 or younger.
I'm confident he's.
Some people I read after said 12 to 14 years
I'm
old.
I'm confident that he is under 20 years old.
Yeah.
Because if he'd have been 20 years old, he'd have been in the Army.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing new under the sun. Today, they put the boys and the girls in the military. Yeah. Now, they didn't put the girls in the military in Daniel's day or in the Bible days, but now every boy and girl, when they turn 18, they're required to do, I think, 2 years or something like that.
Yeah. Right now, they're not getting out right now
because
of their war.
They called everybody back
because of the war.
Had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
they're in their own world war over there.
That's right.
It is believed Daniel was approximately 17 years of age when taken into captivity, 605 B.C., likely witnessed the death of his own parents, possibly.
I don't know if he probably did, and he might never have, if they took him away and his parents were still alive,
it's hard
he
to
wouldn't
know.
Have seen, but it's possible.
And let's see, This took place 605. It was a devastating time for those living in Jerusalem.
Oh, yes.
Devastating time. It was prophesied by both Ezekiel and the prophet Jeremiah that God's judgment was to come upon them, and they warned them to give in to it. Don't fight.
And they refused. It would have saved a lot of lives, but they wouldn't listen again.
They wouldn't listen to normal Israeli people, stubborn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
this, by the way, Daniel, then this is also at the same time that the end of the Edomite kingdom took place.
Okay.
Because the people that were escaping during this time, the Jews that were escaping the Babylonian conquest at that time, were cut off. They were cut off by the Edomites. And the Edomites thought that if we help the Babylonians get these people, then we'll be in grace with them. All it done was, according to the prophecies that was going to take place, it cost them every one of the Edomites. Their kingdom was gone.
Yeah.
And the kingdom was given to the Nabataeans.
All right. And I turn the page and it says, now back to Daniel's resolve.
Yeah.
And I say Daniel's resolve because when you look up the word purposed in Webster's 1828, here's what it says. It means to be resolved, having formed a design or resolution. So you're resolute, you're resolved, you're decided. You've made your decision. You don't have to
life or
rethink
death.
It. Yeah. Purposed in his heart, he was not going to defile himself with the king's meat, which most likely was offered to idols.
Well, that's the thing.
And possibly pork.
Well, I'm sure there would have been. But all of that meat would have been in some way, either psychologically or physically, have been dedicated to one or many of their false gods.
So he couldn't eat that. And the king's wine, of course, maybe for the same reason, but also probably alcoholic.
Oh, yes.
And our viewers maybe don't understand this, but there are two kinds of wine in the Bible.
Yeah.
And you have to, context is how you know whether it's fermented or non-fermented. Mm-hmm. I promise you, folks, Jesus did not turn the water into fermented wine so the party could all get drunk that day. I guarantee you that didn't happen.
That's why the man in charge of the feast said, man, why'd you wait this time to bring the best? That would have been that which tasted the freshest, grape juice.
Yeah, and so context. Now, Proverbs 20. You know, look not upon the wine when it turneth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright.
Yeah.
Some of you old sailors like me out there on watching this, you know what that's talking about. You've seen it on the signs of the taverns you've been to, right? Yeah, the bubbles coming up out of the champagne glass. And I was a sailor, Doc, so I know some of that stuff. But
I was an airman. I was always good.
You were always good, and I wasn't a saved man until I was 21 years old.
I was already in the Lord's service before I went into the Air Force service.
And so, anyway, Daniel had already purposed he was going to live for his God. He wasn't going to sin, even if it meant death.
Well, before that happened, they all got reassigned names.
Yeah. And I've got three things about that. We're not quite to that, but I can jump ahead here.
Well, I was just thinking because that followed after they have been given names, and so
I wrote down in the book three reasons why I think their names were changed.
Interesting.
Number one, it would help them assimilate into the Babylonian ways and customs.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, it would help them forget their homeland. They wanted them to become Babylonians, and which makes sense. That was wisdom on the king's part. And number three is kind of humorous, but I think it's true. It would be easier for Babylonian people to pronounce their new names.
Well, that would have been true as well. But I think the main reason is because all four of these boys, Daniel included, all of them had part of God's name. And their name, each one of them, their suffix or the prefix with the EL or the IH, anyway, that meant some facet of the relationship of me with God Almighty. And so they want to give them names that separate them from their God to the gods that they worship. And when the people heard their name, as you said, when the people heard their name, they immediately identified with which one of the gods or facets of the gods that they worshiped.
And you know, the Jews, they always keep their culture.
I mean, yes.
They're the only nation in the world that has kept it.
Absolutely.
And that's true here, too, because I don't forget who I read after. It might have been M.R.D. Hahn, somebody. He said, in the book of Daniel, when it's Daniel and his brethren talking to one another, they use their real name.
That's right.
When it's with Nebuchadnezzar or
any of the political
leaders. Yeah, the other guys, Darius or Cyrus, they would use the other name. But they never lost who they were.
No, they never lost who. But they, you know, it's an amazing thing because at the time when they were in Israel or in Judah before they were in captivity, it wasn't the most spiritual setting. So somebody in these young men's lives had done a pretty good job of giving them the foundation of their faith. Yeah. And so that tells me how important it is as parents and grandparents that we do everything we can to do, because we never know when something of that nature might happen even to our own generation.
And, you know, and it's happened before. Wars, yes. World War I, World War II, where 15-year-old boys are suddenly, their parents are dead from war, and they're on their own, so to speak, and they can go one way or the other.
Or they could be like my one uncle whose brother was already in overseas in World War II. He went down and joined, and he lied. He was 16 years old. So he's over in Europe, and he's found out, and General Patton came in and heard the conversation, and he said, "That's okay, I'll take this boy." He became General Patton's half-track driver.
Wow, that's amazing.
But some people even lie to get in.
I wrote this, Doc. The greatest character trait I see, and the theme of chapter 1, is that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would live holy, he wouldn't defile himself.
Yep.
Daniel had exceptional character and discipline. He also had strong moral values.
Absolutely.
And convictions that dictated his decisions in life. See, he didn't have to stop and pray about it. He already made these decisions as a teenage boy. As we shall see in the commentary below, the prophet Daniel is going to be willing to die for his biblical convictions. He was resolved. He was purposed in his heart that he would not do anything that would displease his God, even if it meant death. And I wrote this.
He said, the eunuch said, "Hey, I could have my head, you know, if this didn't work out." And so,
and that's what his first test was. Was the king had ordered the wine and the meat.
Yeah.
The king set up the whole schedule of the eating.
You're going to have this food. You got. And by the way, listen, this would have been. This would have been the best of the meals that you could have had at the time. You could have had the best environment to be able to live in time. And here's the thing. It's a picture of what we live in today. The world around us trying to get us to assimilate with the world. Everything is offered to us the best.
Yeah.
But if we're going to be righteous, sometimes we have to say no to it.
Now, in my books, I usually put these big fancy quotes, and they jump off the page when you're reading. And here's the first one. Most Christians today can't live for their convictions, let alone die for them.
Yes.
Isn't that sad?
Well, and here's another thing, because convictions and preferences are not the same.
And we're going to get to that. That's coming.
You know? I've had a lot of people in the last few weeks talk about some of these things with me, and I said, because there's certain things, maybe it's in dress standards or whatever it is, and I said, okay, if that's how it is, are you willing to die for it?
Yeah.
Well, no. I said, then it's not a conviction.
It's not a conviction, yeah. I wrote this after that statement, and I got kind of personal with whoever's reading the book. Hopefully some young people will read this.
Good.
I said, wow, what a role model for the young people in our churches.
Amen.
How we need some young Daniels today. Imagine a church with some young men who are resolved, purposed in their heart that they will live for the Lord, be pure, not get caught up in the world's music and the desires of the flesh. There are very few Daniels in our generation. In fact, there are very few Daniels in any generation throughout history. And then I wrote this to the people reading the book, and I say this to the audience here. Would you strive to be a Daniel?
Yeah.
Would you strive to be holy? Would you walk with the Lord? Would you have pure thoughts? Would you have a desire to please God? Would you be a Daniel in these last days? And I said, if you're reading this, and I gave my email here, if God spoke to you, email me. I'd like
to
know about it.
I'm confident that we have. Our problem is in fundamentalism, we realize that there's a lot of people that call themselves Christian are not very Christ-like. And I'm thankful that I have some grandsons right now getting ready to go to the mission field. My son's getting ready to take 18 to the mission field in Uganda in January. And I have four or five of grandsons that are going. And I believe I know two of them would be a Daniel.
Yeah.
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 And I'm blessed.
Well, Daniel gets taken captive, and right away, his faith and his convictions are put to the test.
Oh, yes.
When he's told, this is what you got to eat, and this is what you're going to drink.
And Can you imagine what it must have been like that first day?
I mean, it's not bad enough that he got pulled out of his homeland, and possibly his parents are killed. We don't know. But, I mean, and all of a sudden, now my faith in God is put to a test here. And you know what? He didn't yell. He didn't jump up and down. I can't eat that. I won't. He come up with a plan.
Yeah.
He knew the goal of the king.
He didn't go on a hunger strike.
The goal of Nebuchadnezzar was to make them healthy so that they could serve the kingdom. Daniel knew that as a young boy. And he said, I got a better way to get what the king wants. Mm-hmm. And so he went to the eunuch and said, let us eat this and drink this and prove us for 10 days. And because the eunuch, like you said earlier, the king will have my head if I disobey him. they gave him a plan B. They said, try us for 10 days. If we're not more healthy, then...
He's already demonstrating leadership.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wisdom.
Yes.
Conviction. Faith. So in the end of this chapter, I deal with convictions and preferences.
Yeah.
Very important that people understand these things. A conviction is something that you can point to in the scripture and is a principle or command from the Lord. It is something you would be willing to die for.
Yes.
A preference is something you prefer, not something that God has commanded to do or not to do. In fact, the prefix of the word preference is preference. That's what the word means. Keeping yourself pure and not committing adultery is a conviction. It should be a conviction with us. I'm afraid it's not anymore.
It was in Joseph's life.
Yep. And keeping yourself pure, not committing adultery, conviction. I will not sin against God. I will not sin against my spouse. It's something you can point to in the Bible. Yes. However, what color carpet to install in your church is a preference.
Amen.
To yield a preference to others is courtesy. To yield a conviction is sin.
There you go.
And that's important.
That's good. Yeah.
Did you know that, and I know you know this, Doc, did you know that most church battles and fights...
Yeah, it's over preferences.
Preferences.
Yeah.
We fight over preferences that don't even matter. Now the preacher, well, what do you mean? It does matter. I want it this way.
Yeah.
In the long run, it doesn't matter. Courtesy says, hey, look, I'll give in on some of these things. You know, if they want gravel in the parking lot, we'll have gravel.
Well, you
don't yield a conviction of what must I do to be saved.
So these boys knew what it was they were up against. I think they understood that. There was nothing. We don't understand it in our world today, but they would have understood because there were kingdoms who were subdued all the time. And so they didn't fight it. They realized this is going to be our future. We can't do anything about it. So as long as we can carry our convictions, We can steal in your preference. We can give up. So there are things that Daniel said, well, I don't care what you give me a name. I'm telling you, I'm not going to answer any name but my old name. Well, he didn't do that.
No.
But he wanted to be right with God, and so he put it to test.
Now, I put a sticker in here. This is not in the book, but I began thinking about, what does all this mean? What is chapter 1? What's the importance of chapter 1? I'll tell you what it is. Look what God did with this man, this young boy named Daniel. Look what God did to him.
If he hadn't started with that, you wouldn't have the book of Daniel.
Had he not had these convictions and been a young man of honor and integrity and wisdom, God could not have used him the way that he did. That's what's important to understand, dear. I got a whole list of 8 points, 7 points about convictions.
Yeah, you got 2 minutes to do it.
Versus preferences. We're not going to get into them. But there's 7 points in here that I give about preferences and convictions.
Well, you did that.
Very helpful.
You did that in your Revelation study guide.
Oh, did I? Okay.
You gave some applications.
And a little bit of, I got some lessons here and some application. And I did a verse by verse. I went through the whole chapter and explained the verses. And here's some application in closing. Do I have strong Bible-based convictions in my life? Do I? Can I back up my convictions with the Bible? Sometimes we have convictions that are not Bible-based, like what color carpet to have in the church. And do I sometimes waver on my convictions? You know, is it painful to stand for this? I'm like, what are people going to say? Is it going to cost me money?
Well, the closer we get to the end, the more painful it's going to be.
Have I honestly studied and proved my convictions?
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to have a conviction that you're willing to die for, make sure it's biblical.
That's right. Amen.
And are we guilty of fighting over preferences more so than over conviction?
Well, you know, when you look at all the martyrs down through the ages for cause of Christ, it wasn't their preference that they let them tie them to a stake and drown to death.
Yeah.
It was a Bible conviction.
And we only got a minute left, but here's my lessons at the end here. A life surrendered to God has rewards.
Absolutely.
Boy, oh boy. Mm. Even bad circumstances cannot hinder the will of God.
That's right.
Battles and testings come to everyone who lives for God.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, bad things sometimes happen to good people. We've heard that 100 times, right? And there's 13 of them here. I don't have time to read them all. Christian battles, I'll close with this. Christian battles are often about preferences and not convictions.
That's right.
And so that's chapter 1. And Doc, why don't you close us out here with something?
You know, the most important thing is, first of all, you be born again. Once you know that, then you need to discover what God wants for you to live, how to live, and just determine that's what you're going to do.
All right, folks, look us up, prophecyinthespotlight.com. We'd love to hear from you. Call us. If you can donate this week, it'd be wonderful. But until next time, keep your eyes on them skies.